morning, everyone. We'll call the Rules Committee hearing to order for Tuesday, March 28th, and I'll note the presence of a quorum. We have first on the agenda approval of the minutes from Thursday, March 23rd. Vice Chair Hollins, would you care to move the minutes?
Chair Long, I have thoroughly reviewed the minutes, and I move their approval.
Thank you for your due diligence, Vice Chair Hollins. All in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved. Next, we have the calendar for the day for Thursday, March 30th. We are recommending five bills for calendaring for the day. Senate File 2265, Representative Neuer, Public Health Emergency Unwinding. House File 1278, Representative Pawlowski, Disaster Assistance Fund Refill. House File 1178, Representative Brand, Type 3 School Bus Retirement Deadline Repeal. House File 1370, Representative Stevenson, Prohibiting Use of Deepfake Technology. And House File 2175, Representative Farr, Non-Bank Mortgage Servicers Regulation. Discussion to the calendar for the day. Seeing none, I move the adoption of the calendar for the day. Pursuant to Rule 1.21 and 3.33, the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration designates Thursday, March 30th for the adoption of the calendar for the day and establishes a pre-filing requirement for amendments offered to those bills. All in favor of the calendar for the day, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The calendar for the day is adopted. Next, we have a presentation on our House budget proposal for fiscal years 2024 and 2025. If Barb Julek could please come and present the House budget proposal.
Mr. Chair and members, Barb Julek, House Controller. In your packet, you should have three documents. The first is just a letter with a broad overview of the budget proposal that we'll be reviewing today. The second is a category line item of the budget asking to be approved today. And the third document that I will spend my time on is a document titled Fiscal Year 24-25 Budget Proposal. I believe it's a four-page document before you. Mr. Chair and members, this budget proposal is proposing a budget of $96,604,000 for the 24-25 biennium. This is about a $13 million increase, or slightly under 16% from the prior biennium's adopted budget. It allows for increases in member salary, per diem insurance and lodging, staff salary, benefits, insurance, and stipends, an additional request for some additional staffing, some one-time investments to maintain operations, and some operational adjustments for non-personal spending. Table one below kind of describes the increases from one biennium to the other. You'll see 24-25 versus 22-23, that $13.1 million increase being requested. And then on the resources, because a lot of, about $3 million of the 22-23 budget was one-time funding with carry forward, this budget is not proposing to use any carry forward, so the actual appropriation request compared to our base budget is $15,742,000. Of this request, about 15% is going to be related to changes dealing with members' salary, per diem, insurance, and housing. 75% is related to staffing, and about 10% is related to non-personnel items. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to walk through Table 2, which is a more detailed explanation of the $15.7 million change that's being requested. The first area is regarding member salaries. The Legislative Salary Council adopted report includes a $3,500 increase, or 7.25% increase for legislative members, effective July 1st, 23. So that would cost a little over $1 million for this upcoming biennium. The numbers in this table do reflect two-year figures. Included in this is also about $95,000 to extend leadership pay for two additional House leadership positions. If you recall, in January, we adopted a resolution for three leadership positions. This would expand that to five. Continuing on, the next item would be an increase in member per diem. This would be a $20 increase from $66 to $86. The number, the $675,000 reflected here, is the July 1st, 23 moving forward, and we would absorb anything in fiscal year 23. Housing allowance, as you recall, last January we did adopt an increase to the housing allowance. We are absorbing that in the current fiscal year, but this budget does request additional funding to continue that into the next two fiscal years. Member health insurance is projected to increase over the biennium by 5.84% in calendar year 24 and 25, with an estimated cost of $363,000 over the next biennium. So those four items are the items impacting member or costs associated with members. Next, I'll go into some of the staffing changes. This budget does request an increase for six FTEs, mostly dealing with succession planning by building in deputies, directors into a couple of our departments, or adding positions to deal with increased workload in HR and House Public Information. There's also a position on here requesting a legislative assistant to be shared across three nonpartisan departments, Human Services, Sergeant at Arms, and Budget and Accounting, which currently do not have any year-round assistant support. Finally, this budget includes a position that's, I will just term it's like a floater position or overlap position, that would allow for when we have a known person retiring or leaving the body that has a unique special skill to the House, that we'd like to overlap some transition time. So this would provide funds that you could have an overlap in time when you have one of those unique positions or a leadership position, a department director position, known leaving, and we have enough time that we can overlap some of that work. The amount in this category also includes associated payroll cost and other equipment that we would need to purchase for new positions. All right, the next item being requested is regarding staff salaries. For members who have been here for more than 5 years. 5 years ago, we did a NCSL salary study that looked at bringing our salaries back into line after probably about 10 years, I think, was the prior time we had done the NCSL study. And part of that study listed a number of recommendations. It recommended that certain positions shift in the ranges, that certain ranges be adjusted, and that we account for cost of living changes, and that we account for market competitiveness. 5 years ago, we adopted those recommendations and built them into the salary. That report also recommended that we continue to adjust for cost of living adjustments on an annual basis, and that we periodically review against the market. We haven't done that in the past few years. 2 years ago, when we adopted a budget, we didn't know what would happen in the next 2 years, and inflation ended up being a lot more that we were able to do. It was the middle of the pandemic. We were also kind of waiting to see what was going to happen, and so we had held back a little bit. We were able to provide a 5-point increase over that 2 years, but inflation was closer to 14%, and so we were, for that 2 years, we did not keep up with inflation. Moving forward, projected inflation is about another 6.5% moving forward. So this proposal would request that we provide funds that rebase our salaries to account for that missed cost of living. For members here, last year we did have a budget request to make up for some of it. It did not pass because there was no budgets passed last year, so that supplemental request was not passed. So this one is asking to rebase salaries to realign a few things. One, with that missed cost of living. Two, we've looked with our Senate counterparts, and we have a number of ranges that we fall below where the Senate starting range is, so we want to realign to that. We've looked, as the NCSL study recommended, we look at the market. Kelly Knight, the HR director, and myself did a study, independent study, as I call it, looking at certain positions and how we compete against counterparts in the executive branch and things like that. So rebasing to align with the Senate, aligned with some of these counterparts, aligned with past inflation, and then looking forward to projected inflation over the next 2 years. And then in addition, we haven't implemented a merit increase for the past 2 years. This proposal would request funds that we would reinstate merits looking forward over the next 2 years. And finally, funding in this proposal would look at an additional benefit for staff for some additional vacation conversion options. Currently, staff are allowed to convert up to 40 hours or up to 50 hours of vacation and deferred vacation and compensation time into their deferred comp accounts. This would allow for an additional benefit of 40 hours to be converted in some manner or fashion, as we have a number of staff who lose either comp time and or vacation time at the end of the calendar year. The figures here also include adjustments for temporary staff salaries, minor adjustments of severance and deferred compensation as salaries increase, as well as payroll, associated payroll cost. The next item is intern stipends. If you recall, in January, we adopted a $50 stipend for interns. This would approve money for that program and increase it to $75 moving forward for next year. The other half insurance, we have staff insurance. Again, projections for calendar year 24-25 are about 5.8%. I'm going to skip over the next one briefly. And then we have some other ongoing costs, new ongoing costs that are being proposed here. The first is we have a transition to our voice over IP telephone systems that will be going into a place this October. In the past, when we've replaced the system, we paid a large number up front and then smaller ongoing. This replacement would allocate the five-year replacement cost over 5 years. So on an ongoing basis, it costs a little bit more than I'm currently covering. It would request funding for an IT ticketing system for the IT departments. It would request funding for some accessibility software based on the accessibility work group recommendations, and then some inflationary cost on non-personnel operating, mostly our software licenses that are moving forward. So then the one-time costs, the $1 million, Table 3 kind of outlines some of the one-time costs that are built into here. We've got several pieces of equipment approaching end of life. This includes our network storage and backup systems. We have a number of copy duplicating machines throughout the building that have reached end of life. They are anywhere from 8 to 12 years old at this point. Some caucus envelope printers that I think are even older than that. Web security system replacement, we do a monitor replacement cycle that we are hitting, and our 25-year-old state fair booth is in need of replacement. Next, we have enhancements. The bulk of this $388,000 is to migrate to an Active Directory system. This is for our file and print networks. My understanding, we currently have three different systems, and we're trying to just migrate into one that will be more easily managed within our IT departments. And then a small portion of this money is for voting board programming. And finally, just some other one-time equipment replacements. With moving to a summer part-time remote and potentially for swing space in the future as the building is remodeled, wanting to purchase headsets for staff, and then public information has some camera replacements that are needed. And so that concludes the $15.7 million appropriation request in this budget.
Thank you, Ms. Julie. Questions on the House budget proposal? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Julie. I did have a couple questions. Sorry, I'm supposed to be in another committee right now, and I was just checking in with those guys. So I'm very strongly in support of the salary increases for staff. They work incredibly hard. We have an amazing staff, and we need to keep them. So I'm on board with that. The question I had was on the per diem, the increase is 30.3%, but the other increase for members was more in line with inflation at 7.25%. Why did per diem jump so much?
I can speak to that, Representative Robbins. So we are matching the Senate's per diem. So the Senate is currently at $86, and we are at $66. That's a choice that the Senate has made in the past, and the Salary Council in part pointed out that it was very difficult for them to make salary determinations with different levels of per diem between the House and the Senate. And so we wanted to bring ours in line with the Senate. I don't know, Ms. Julek, if you wanted to add anything to that. Okay. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, you know, that helps me understand it. I would note that Senate districts are twice the size of ours, and they probably drive more and have more meetings and things. So I'm not sure we need to be on par with them just because they're the other body. And then my second question is, I like the idea of the floater position to help with transitions, but then you had also indicated that the deputy IT director and some of those other new six FTEs were also to be about succession planning. Mm-hmm. So it seems like maybe we don't need all of those if we are creating this floater position. Could you address that?
Ms. Julek.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, it's really a twofold approach. There are some departments that just with workload need additional resources, and the work to replace a department head, even a 3 to 6 months overlap may not do it. So it's kind of true. There's the workload need in those departments and the need to succession plan that are being addressed with those positions. And then the floater positions, you know, maybe take a position like mine where the workload may not need a full deputy, but having like a 3 to 4 or 2 month, 3 to 4 week or 2 month overlap may help. And so it's really a two-pronged approach to that succession planning.
Further questions, Representative Robbins?
No, I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. I want us to be fully staffed and have our needs met, but I also, in other committees, as we're looking at budgets, I'm always encouraging, as I'm about to go to higher ed, that they're also participating in keeping costs low, and I'm sure the state is very trying to look for ways to save, but I'm a little concerned about adding six FTEs. So thank you.
Further questions on the House budget? Seeing none, the budget will need to be reviewed by the Committee on State and Local Government for the appropriations change. If the funding request is not enacted, then we will review it here again in rules. And with that, I move the adoption of the recommended budget for $96,604,000 for fiscal years 24-25. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The budget is adopted. That is our business, members, and with that, we are adjourned.